Seekers, it is I, Brad Friedman, once again, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Yes, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty once again, being the media here on the Mike Malloy Show, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Burbank. That's right, right here in the heart of Los Angeles. Burnt, battered, bruised, scarred Los Angeles. Also here in the heart of the charred and scarred heart of progressivism. We're with you all week long. Happy to be here sitting in for Mike while he's out on a much-deserved vacation. Man, is he going to be loaded for bear when he gets back. If you want to call us tonight during the show, we got a big show. I'll give you the guest lineup in a minute. And Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake is going to join us within seconds. If you'd like to talk to us tonight, we'll try to get you in. 877-520-1150 is the number. 877-520-1150. Don't use Mike Malloy's normal number because you'll just bother the Malloys. Bother us instead out here in Los Angeles. You can also stop by bradblog.com and join the live chat. We got a live chat room set up during the show. Go to the very top item there where it runs down tonight's program. Click here for more, and you'll find the chat room. Jump on in there. Agent 99 is hosting in there. Desi is also in there as well. I'll keep my eye on it as best I can. And, well, let's see. Any other business I need to take care of? Coming up on tonight's show, I already mentioned Jane Hampshire is going to be joining us. Also, Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org is going to be here to... oh, man, talk about this very troubling news last week. Our old friends at the Diebold Voting Machine Company, yes, the Diebold Election Systems has been bought up. It will soon be no more. Actually, it already is no more. Has been bought up by the largest election supplier in the world and in the nation, ES&S, creating a megalopoly. Is that a word? Megalopoly of 120 million votes. Will be counted by a single private company. A private company, by the way, that fails time and time again. Also, our old friend Mike Rogers from Page One Q and Blog Active is going to join us later on for a big gay hour. Can't wait. What are you laughing about, Tony? It's a big gay hour. It's coming up. You're going to enjoy it. That, Desi Doyen with the Green News. A whole bunch more. So stick with us all night long. And I mentioned the chat room. I mentioned everything. All right, let's rock. Last night I was talking about, furiously, frankly, talking about Van Jones and his forced, frankly, forced resignation. Forced, in my opinion, by the political terrorists, by the thugs, by the McCarthy-like tactics, by the thought police of Glenn Beck and Fox News, who essentially forced Van Jones to step out because he had the temerity to sign a petition asking questions about 9/11. Oddly enough, Glenn Beck has made the theme of his show for the last week or two. Reasonable questions in unreasonable times, as we played last week. He encouraged people to ask the difficult questions without fear. Well, apparently only questions that are Fox News approved. Otherwise, you should be very afraid because you'll get in trouble for simply asking them, as did Van Jones, apparently, who was really thrown under the bus, frankly, by the Obama administration. And I ain't happy about it. The one progressive guy, a real progressive hero, Van Jones, and he was just thrown under the bus by the Obama administration, and it kind of infuriated me. Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake joins us. She, too, seemed to be a bit upset about all of this. She wrote an article on Sunday after this happened called A Moment of Truth for Liberal Institutions in the Veal Pen. She will explain momentarily. Hey, Jane, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad. Good to be on the Mike Malloy Show.
Great to have you, but especially because you got hosed today on MSNBC. My words, not yours. But you were there. I was ready to watch you about 30 seconds, and then they bring in Pelosi and Harry Reid for some breaking news that, frankly, nobody cared about. I wanted to see you, Jane.
Well, you know, at least I got 1 minute. A while back I was there, and I got bumped 2 days in a row by the guy who did the Holocaust Museum shooting. So,
you
know, it's a step up.
So you're just bad news. When you show up on MSNBC, there's going to be some breaking news. Duck when Jane comes. All right. Well, as far as I'm concerned, this piece was a must-read on Van Jones. I think you were right on the money here. Give us an idea. What the hell is the what the hell are liberal institutions in the veal pen, and how did all of this come to play from this Van Jones resignation?
When the Obama administration came into office, they wanted to wrangle all of the big liberal institutions into backing them, basically echoing their messages and not giving them any trouble on anything like the bank bailouts or, you know, dropping employee free choice or, you know, don't ask, don't tell and DOMA. And they went, okay, you guys, we're going to have an 8:45 call every morning. Everybody's going to be on message. We got a once a week meeting, common purpose. Everybody's going to be on message. And we really don't want you stepping out of line. And if they do, they tend to get called out very forcefully by Rahm Emanuel, amongst others, who showed up a couple weeks ago and hollered at everybody for advertising against Blue Dogs on healthcare.
Yep.
Calling them effing stupid.
Yep.
And they wind up getting their funding cut, which is uncool. So, you know, what I was calling for were these groups to step out of the veal pen, the, you know, small crate where they're kept and you know, neutered and not allowed to form a real liberal critique of what is happening with the administration and do the right thing. You know, Van Jones was someone that they all celebrated. They wanted him at every dinner. They wanted him on the board. They wanted him to be there every step of the way. And the minute he got thrown under the bus by the White House, which shocked me. I mean, Glenn Beck runs the White House now. Where were they? They just weren't there. They didn't want to embarrass the White House by saying, wow, you know, they shouldn't have done this. They abandoned him.
Yeah, I know. And it's the idea that a guy like Rahm Emanuel, and I think really a lot of this comes from Rahm, as you suggested in those meetings and so forth. Yeah. But it's been going on from the beginning. Where the hell has it gotten us, Jane? When do we start saying enough is enough, Rahm Emanuel? Let's get rid of Rahm. I mean, this is crazy what's going on.
Well, it is, but, you know, you don't keep the guy around if he's not doing what you want.
So you're suggesting this is what Obama wants. He wants to keep the liberal, the progressive interest groups in line, and he was more than happy to throw Van Jones under the bus.
Nobody made anybody do that bank deal. Nobody made anybody, you know, give the bonuses to all those AIG executives, right? That didn't happen, by accident. And if it did happen by accident, then you would think it was a bad accident and the people responsible would have been chucked, but that didn't happen.
Now, I've got in, not a lot of trouble, but I got a lot of callers last night because I was pretty much going on for 3 hours about how ticked off I was at the Obama administration for folding on so much of this stuff. You seem to be suggesting, there's reason to be ticked off here, but what do we do about it, Jane? You guys over at Fire Dog Lake, by the way, thank you. You've done a tremendous job raising money to do some real reporting on healthcare and to rally the troops. But the folks on the inside, I mean the real inside, and I don't know if you got calls, if you were on that 8:30 call. I know I wasn't. But
No. For some reason, I can't get through. I don't know why.
Okay, I would have thought you were in, but I'm out. You're out. So what the hell do we do? How do we change this paradigm right now, Jane?
Glad you asked, Brad.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I did, too.
Around mid-June, it became clear that Rahm Emanuel had basically dealt away with Max Baucus everything that was worth anything in a health care bill in order to keep all the health care lobbyists at the table to keep them from financing a Republican resurgence in 2010. So where we should have had a pharma deal that recouped $300 billion in 10 years from Medicare alone, we basically said, you can just keep making profits. We're going to fudge the numbers, and it looks like you're getting $50 billion less. But actually, your stock prices are rising, so everybody really knows you're going to make money here.
Right.
And in exchange, you're going to spend $150 million running ads in the districts of all our vulnerable freshmen and a few of the blue dogs that aren't vulnerable that we just like. And, you know, there won't be any real health care reform. We're just gonna say that there will be. And so those deals were done, and we realized that that was what was going to happen unless we kind of got it together. So we started a whip count effort, and we went to progressive members of Congress, and we went, what if we wind up with a really bad health care bill, which like got triggers in it and co-ops, and they're like, oh, it's not going to happen. The president's committed to a public option. And they went, and we went, all right, but just humor me. Like, what if? What if this happened? Would you vote to kill it? And they didn't want to answer, so we sent Mike Stark, your friend and mine, up on the Hill with a video camera to like chase him down the Hill and say, hey, come on, we want to hear it. You got nothing but Democrats in your district. 77% of the country wants a public option. 40 members of the House, you know, Democratic members of the House joined together. They can kill any bill that doesn't have a public option. Would you do that? And they finally released a letter, 60 of them, saying that, in fact, they would. And then five others had told us that they would. So it became a big deal once the Baucus bill was starting to, you know, the House, the Senate deal was starting to look bad.
Right.
We had these people who had made this commitment. And now all of a sudden, they're an obstacle that people have to, that they have to get through to get a health care bill passed.
And I know you've sort of been going through one by one to get pledges from these guys at this point. Will they vote against a bill that, if it doesn't have a public option? But I'm not sure if they're pledging against it if it has a public option with a trigger. We're going to talk about that trigger. We're speaking with Jane Hampshire. I got to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Jane Hampshire of FireDogLake.com, the great Jane Hampshire. And I'm not just saying that because she's here. She really is great. Brad, in for Malloy. A whole lot more ahead. Please stick with us. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Malloy tonight. And all week long, we're speaking with Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake. She wrote over the weekend about the resignation of Van Jones. If there's going to be a serious progressive movement in this country capable of standing up for health care against an industry that spends $1.4 million a day on lobbying, we can't just look to the members of the Progressive Caucus and say, hey, you get something done. They need cover, writes Jane. They need to know that they will be supported. And people like Van Jones, who have given their lives to causes we say we value, like prison reform and environmental advocacy, need to know they will be defended and not handed over to Glenn Beck as an acceptable casualty in the battle for K Street dollars. That seems to be what has happened here, Jane. And, you know, lobbying as much as we can, progressives can, lobbying members of Congress to get their pledges to vote against a bill that doesn't include a public option, it doesn't take care of the bigger picture. That's what I'm worried about, because I see this problem happening over and over again, whether it's health care, green, you know, cap and trade, election reform, media reform, on down the line. You got a guy like Rahm Emanuel. Well, maybe I'm too hard on him. You say I should blame Obama. I will. Steny Hoyer. All of these guys seem to be at odds with what it is that folks like you and I, and as you point out, 77% of American people want. What do we do about that bigger picture, Jane?
Well, I actually think healthcare is the bigger picture, Brad, because finally you've got people who care enough about something that they are willing to act collectively to draw a line. You know, people didn't care that much about the war in Afghanistan. We whipped on a supplemental, but we knew we'd lose that because people just don't care about it that much. Wax and Markey kind of just floated by. Healthcare, they care. And it's an opportunity for progressives in Congress to assert themselves and stick together and start driving policy. right, because there are, what, 83 members of the Progressive Caucus,
mm-hmm.
and there are only 53 Blue Dogs. If you look at what the Blue Dogs managed to do by holding together, what could those 83 Progressives do? And yet they haven't.
But it's the Blue Dogs over in the Senate that ultimately are going to have the big say here.
Well, that's what they would like you to believe, but the progressives in the House blocking legislation can have every bit as much of an impact as the conservative Dems in the Senate can. Think about it. You know, so fine, you say, well, they have an interest in passing health care that the conservative Dems don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about when the ag funding bill comes up?
Right.
Like, everybody wants something at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you can exert influence in that situation is by sticking together and saying, no, we're going to deal here. You want to get through here? You got to get through me. This is what they have to do. They've got to start playing that game. And they haven't. They've sort of given over that leadership to the White House and to the House leadership and said, you know, we're just going to do what you want. And they get screwed every time. And their constituents aren't going to take it anymore. And their constituents are standing up now and they're saying, hey, you know what? We gave you all that money and we supported you for all those years when your vote didn't mean anything. Now your vote means something and we expect you to do something for it. And that's why the veal pen is problematic, because these are the organizations that should be supporting these people to do it. And instead of supporting them, they're supporting Rahm Emanuel, and that's not good.
And you may be, believe it or not, more optimistic than I am that people really are standing up, that people are making noise about it. Jane, I know it's getting late out there. Are you able to stick around for over the break? For I got a few more questions for you. I know you might have to leave. I leave it to you.
Yes, I can. I may have to switch phones on you.
Okay. Well, we'll put you on hold. Desi will take care of you there. Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake. A couple more questions for her and your calls, and a whole lot more ahead right here on the Mike Malloy Program. I'm Brad. Stick with us. Show Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for the vacationing mic all week long. Get over it. Glad you could join us here. We've got Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake cut short today on MSNBC, extended on the Mike Malloy Program. You can give us a call, 877-520-1150. You can also stop by the chat room at the very top of bradblog.com. Jump into the first item where it says click here for more. You will get to the chat room. And, oh, by the way, happy birthday, Mom. I love you. All right. Zap Kitty says in the Brad Blog chat room, Jane, that the Baucus health care bill was actually written by Vice President of WellPoint, and that apparently they left her name in the meta in the PDF. Is that true? Are you able to confirm that, Jane?
No, I hadn't heard that, but it would not be one of the things that surprised me in all of this.
No, it really wouldn't. And Zap Kitty usually gets it right, so we should check that out. All right. Well, you know, the question again comes down to accountability, really, of these Blue Dems holding the progressive feet to the fire and letting the Blue Dogs know we're serious if they don't do the right thing. You set up an organization along with, I think, Move On and Glenn Greenwald and Daily Coast and SEIU called AccountabilityNow.org. I wrote about it when you guys introduced yourselves. I wrote about it over at the Guardian UK. And you were going to take on the Blue Dogs, support progressive candidates instead of these Blue Dogs. And then Accountability Now kind of, well, they got pushed back, it seemed, from Reed and Rahm. What happened to Accountability Now? And will you guys pick up that ball and run some progressives instead of these Blue Dogs?
I think there's a couple of things about that that I'll add to that.
Okay.
Accountability Now wasn't designed to run progressives against Blue Dogs. It was designed to challenge members of Congress who are voting against the interests of their districts.
Okay.
As long as you're voting against in the interest of your district, if you come from crazy right-wing district and you are into some crazy right-wing stuff, that's not our business. But if you're voting for WellPoint against the interest of your constituents, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, mm-hmm. that's where accountability now comes in. Now, in terms of what we've been doing, we've soon found that when you're running around in districts trying to recruit challengers, just about the worst thing you can do is announce that you're doing that.
Okay.
It sort of makes people afraid to come forward. So we've been very active, and I actually think that next week you will be very happy to hear what we're doing. But we really wanted to make sure that before we got backing any candidates, that we didn't repeat the mistakes of the past. We didn't just support someone because we didn't like who they were running against. Mm-hmm. We made sure that they established themselves as candidates in their own right and were worth backing. So we've been doing a lot of due diligence, a lot of recruitment, and you know, you have to do everything. You have to bring this stuff public in its own time, and that's getting ready to happen now. But it isn't because we've been inactive.
I appreciate that, and I've got a question about it from Michael in New York. Welcome, Michael, to the Mike Malloy Show. Do you have a question for Jane?
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that, but I believe you just asked my question. I'll be excited to see what turns out next week. Thank you, Jane.
Okay. Well, I will be excited to see what turns out next week, and I hope, by the way, we can get this Jane Harmon out of here where I happen to be stuck with her out in California.
Jane Harmon is a real problem. She comes from a very liberal district with a real strong Democratic majority. There's no reason for somebody to be in that seat who votes with that kind of eye towards interests.
And I appreciate that. And so that's good news. I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to be looking forward to that announcement coming up next week. And let me hold your feet to the fire here, Jane, via your own blog, where Libby Liberal posted today over at Fire Dog Lake a quick piece with the headline, "Why won't Fire Dog Lake officially use its activism to help single payers now and support HR Bill 676?
I believe I am helping single payer. I think that the way to do that is to pass a public option, just as it was with Medicare and Social Security. So, you know, people who say that are asking the wrong questions. They're saying, why won't you, use your influence to pass a bill and focus on a specific bill mm-hmm. that can't pass right now? And there's the answer. It can't pass right now.
So
we're trying to work within the realm of the possible in order to achieve the same objective. And I don't think it's fair to say that you know the only way to get this is through passing 676 right now, and that if I'm not working to support that, then I'm not supporting single payer.
So you think that this is a potential pathway then to single payer if we can get that public option?
You know, look at Social Security or Medicare. Once they were up and running, people really liked them, and you were committing political suicide to cut them back. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be in the same situation with the public plan. I think it's the fastest way to get there. You know, if somebody else believes something differently, that's their right, but I don't think it's fair to accuse me of doing something that I'm not doing.
Mind you, I wasn't. That was your own blog, Jane.
Well, no, we have a diary blog that anybody can post on. It's sort of a public blog.
I wouldn't have asked you if I didn't think you could handle the tough questions. So, okay, and finally here, then, where you guys are targeting these progressives to stand up to take the pledge, we're going to vote against it if it doesn't have a public option in it. The big news is, the trigger. We'll wait 2, 3, 5 years if the private companies don't come around. Are these progressive Congress members that you're talking to, when they say, yes, we're going to vote against it if it doesn't have a public option, are they saying we're going to vote against it if it has a public option with a trigger, or are they going to allow this trigger to happen 2, 3, 5 years from now?
That's a very good question, because this morning we were hearing from several members of Congress, coincidentally, that their definition of public option meant trigger. And I wasn't very happy about that. Michael Capuano and Sam Farr had both signed a letter that other members of Congress had signed saying that they would vote against any bill that didn't have a public option. So, I think, as you can well imagine, that was cause for concern. So I put up a post this morning saying, you know what? I got nothing better to do. I need a hobby. You guys want to be responsible for making sure that we don't get a public plan? I say primary. You know,
yeah.
I'll primary it. I'll primary you as a progressive in a progressive district.
Okay.
And by the end of the day, both of them were walking it back. I mean, I don't think they understand that this is very personal to a lot of us. You know, I've had breast cancer 3 times. I've been taken huge financial hits. And that is nothing compared to the people who've been completely wiped out or who haven't gotten treatment because they couldn't afford it. So this is all in. You know, the members of the Veal Pen are not happy with me. There are a lot of people that aren't happy with what we're doing. The members of Congress want us to just trust them to do the right thing. And that is too much to ask, given their history. This is very important. This is for all the marbles. You're in or you're out. And they should know that we're deadly serious because we are.
Well, let me, Jane, thank you for taking on the members of that Veal Pen, because I think that Veal Pen is really costing progressives. It's really costing, frankly, the country. By a whole bunch of scared people running around taking orders from ROM, threats from the White House that they shouldn't. They need to stand up. And as you wrote, we need to stand up for progressives and let them know we have their back. Clearly, you've got the progressives' back. So thank you for that, for doing that, Jane. Do you want to take one quick call before you go? I know you're on the roll. It's up to you.
Sure.
All right. Last one here for Jane. We'll take all the rest of the calls after Jane is gone, however, so we can talk behind her back. Nan, calling in from my old hometown of St. Louis. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program, Nan.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I have something I'm very, very concerned about, and that is that in both bills, the House and the Senate, I heard this morning it will be in both bills, is the public mandate, not the public option, but the public mandate, forcing us to buy health insurance. And if there's not a public option, that means I'm going to have to buy something that's worse than an HMO, which is nothing more than legalized extortion already.
All right, good question. Jane, is that the case?
Bingo, and that is why we are doing what we are doing. Forcing people to pay tribute to Blue Cross and WellPoint is unacceptable. Forcing them to buy junk insurance from companies that, you know, have proven long ago that they can't be trusted is extortion. If there isn't competition, if there isn't a public plan, if there isn't a way to pressure costs to stay down, these companies have charged 50% rate increases in the past year. We're supposed to trust them. It's wrong, but that's what we're looking at.
Does that answer your question, Nan?
Well, yes, except for that, what they are going to have if they don't have public is going to be worse than an HMO. And are you guys gonna promote it if the public mandate is in it?
Do you mean
the mandate's always been in the public plan bills.
So
it's always been a part of that bill.
A public mandate, but only if there's a public option, not forcing folks to buy into the private plan.
If there's no public option, you have to vote against this bill and kill it.
Nan, would you be able to live with that if there was a public option?
If there's a public option, yes, but not if there isn't.
Okay.
We're saying the same thing.
All right.
Okay, because to me it's like you have the HMO is the mob, and the premium is the protection money, only the distinction is with the mob, you got what you paid for.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. Thanks for that call, man. And give Claire McCaskill hell out there in my old home state of Missouri. Jane Hampshire, keep up the good fight up there. I know you will. Of course, let us know at Brad Blog or The Malloy Show how we can help you. Boy, this is going to be a tough one, but I'm glad you're on my team, Jane.
Well, we need all hands on deck, so if you want to come by and volunteer, we could use your help. Click on the top button at firedoglake.com.
Yeah, and by the way, when you're at firedoglake.com, there's a big thermometer on the sign where they're on the side where they're accepting support for their efforts, for their campaign. Folks need to support progressives, progressive media, progressive activists. Don't count on Rahm Emanuel and the White House. Get in there. Help these folks out yourself. Now more than ever, I can tell you, donations, contributions to folks like Jane and myself have gone down because everybody thinks everything's fine with Obama in. It ain't. We need you to get in there and fight. Jane, thanks for carrying on that fight for us.
Thank you too, Brad.
All right. Talk to you soon. Jane Hampshire of FiredogLake.com.
Hi.
There we go. Okay. I'll figure out how to use these phones one of these times. FiredogLake.com. Glad she could join us. Going to take a quick break. Come back with more of your calls. Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org joins us at the top of the hour to let us know, oh, man, you think the private insurance is bad? Just wait till you see who's counting your votes in your public elections in these United States of America. I'm Brad Friedman on The Molloy Show. Much more right after this. Show Brad Friedman in for Mike Molloy, taking your calls 877-520-1150. Oh, I'm coming down, sort of, kind of coming down from this whole Van Jones thing. But, you know, it wraps up the entire puzzle in a nutshell. The fact that progressives are willing to be bullied. I shouldn't say progressives. Real progressives aren't. But these Democrats, these Democrat lights, these blue dogs, these Rahm Emanuels, these Steny Hoyers, and as Jane Hampshire Fire Dog Lake just told us a few minutes ago, these Barack Obamas who are willing to roll over, frankly, as soon as the going gets tough, as soon as a guy like Glenn Beck comes out and lies about someone like Van Jones, a real progressive, to come out, Glenn Beck, and you know, say that he thought the Bush blew up the trade towers himself, or whatever nonsense that I played the clips last night. Just utter lies. And we got to stand up to these guys, because this is insane. You're seeing what's happening with health care. Now they're fighting. Now the question is, well, public option, but a trigger 2, 3, 5 years down the road. Wrong. Progressives should have been in there fighting for single payer. Public option should have been the compromise position, but they gave up single payer. They negotiated with themselves. They went straight to public option. And now the question is, oh, are we going to keep the public option at all? Oh, the compromise is a trigger down the road. It's just nonsense. We're going to be talking about that all night tomorrow night after Obama gives his speech to Congress. And, of course, I don't know if any of the Republicans are going to walk out because they're going to be afraid that Barack Obama is going to be indoctrinating Congress. Those idiots. Did you see his speech this morning? Obama's speech this morning to the kids? Very dangerous. He was asking them to stay in school, to study hard, to someday become president. And these idiot wingnuts and teabaggers out there said, oh, he's indoctrinated. They will do anything. The problem is the Democrats who don't stand up to that nonsense, who consider that legitimate debate. It is not. Frankly, we should ignore it, except that the noise is so loud and the Democrats are so weak-kneed and spineless that somebody's got to push back. They're out there fighting about that in the bradblog.com chat room right now. Go on over there and fight with them and stand up to this knucklehead who called Van Jones a communist or whatever nonsense that was. All right, let's get to Marilyn in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Molloy program. What's up, Marilyn?
Well, Brad, let me just float my conspiracy theory.
All right.
As somebody who's...
Bob, I'm going to warn you before you do.
Yeah.
If you float that conspiracy theory, you may not be eligible to work for the White House some years from now.
Well, you were talking about children growing up to work to, yeah, like, become president. Why,
yeah,
would you wish that on any child? But look, my cause that I fight for on a daily basis is Dawn Siegelman.
Yep.
I make phone calls about other things. I belong to progressive Democrats. I do all kinds of things. And I'm on the obvious good side of issues, and we are hitting our heads against a wall. And like in the Dawn Siegelman case, there is no good reason for them, not for this administration, to turn their backs on that man and let him go back to prison. And I'm afraid that'll happen. But anyway, the reason I think they don't do it is that they're threatened. I don't think that everybody's corrupt. I don't think it's that everybody's bought off by oodles of money from insurance companies and corporations. But I think they're threatened because they're they're not...
By who, Marilyn? Who's threatening them?
Well, all you have to do is say, do you want to end up like Elliot Spitzer? Do you want to end up like Don Siegelman? Do you want to end up like Dana Jill Simpson?
So they're worried that they're going to be blackmailed, that they're going to be swift-boated. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Then they don't deserve to be in office. If they're not going to stand up to that BS, then they don't deserve to be in office. You're right. Siegelman got screwed, and he's still getting screwed. The fact that Obama is not doing anything about his case, and I would suggest people go to restorejusticeatjustice.com, where my organization, Velvet Revolution, is calling on Eric Holder to do the right thing there, sign up and stand up and fight. But look, if these guys are afraid of what could happen to them, they have no business being in public service, in my opinion. Marilyn, I got to get to a break. Thanks for your call, though. I do appreciate it. And thanks for continuing to raise hell about Don Siegelman, because it's absolutely an outrage. And that's why I say that this Van Jones thing, few people may be paying attention to it, say, oh, it's a small issue. It's not that. This is the issue. Standing up for what's right. We had a caller here last night who said, we can't go after Dick Cheney for breaking the law for torture because centrist Democrats will have a problem with that. So centrist Democrats, whoever they are, don't give a damn about the rule of law? Knock it off, people. Wake up. This is your country. Have some courage. Have some spine. And if those folks who are in power don't want to have the spine, guess what? Toss them out. Get rid of them. Run a progressive. AccountabilityNow.org. Jane promises I'm going to be happy next week with what they're planning. I hope so, because I haven't been happy a lot lately. Other than that, I'm happy to be here on the Mike Malloy program. Bev Harris next, talking about the private takeover of our public election systems. Plus, more of your calls, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Malloy. Show Brad Friedman once again of bradblog.com in for the vacationing Mike Malloy all this week, broadcasting from the lovely studios of K-Talk AM 1150. You can call us throughout the hour, 877-520-1150. Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Mom. I have to keep repeating that just in case she's listening. If you'd like to talk about anything we're chatting about for the next couple of hours, or you'd like to wish my mother a happy birthday, call us, 877-520-1150. Bev Harris is going to join us momentarily from blackboxvoting.org to discuss a rather troubling development, an incredibly troubling development, frankly, in the election world. But, I should just remind you, when it comes to calling into radio shows, these are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them. And, you've already lost them. Yeah. And when it comes to elections, yeah, you've already lost those. Glenn writes in the chat room over at bradblog.com, and you can jump in over there if you want to talk to Glenn. He says, socialism takes many individual freedoms away via state controls and dictates, often via noble motives, but it destroys individualism. Glenn wrote that to us on the internet, the socialist internet, undoubtedly using the socialist electric system, which he probably is enjoying since he drove home on the socialist roads. These guys just don't get it, do they? All right, let me get over to Bev. Here we go. Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org, the founder of the nonpartisan election watchdog organization. Oh, Bev, welcome to the show.
Well, it's always nice to talk to you, Brad.
Well, it's always nice to talk to you, except it seems like whenever I talk to you, it's because something terrible is going on. And in this case, well, I'll just give folks, let me give them the good news, and then I'll let you give them the bad news. The good news is Diebold Election System, the maker of crappy electronic voting systems that have been hacked in one state after another, that don't allow any citizen to actually verify that the votes have been counted correctly, that drop ballots without warning. Diebold Election System is essentially no more. That's the good news. And now for the bad news, Bev, what's the bad news?
You know, the reason that Diebold is not going to continue is because they have been acquired by another company, which may be even worse. Regardless of which company is the worst, which is, would be quite a contest, Election Systems and Software is more privately than Diebold even, because we don't even know exactly who the owners are. It's a very small little group of guys that own this company. It makes the Ivotronics, which melted down in Sarasota, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it has purchased Diebold, and what this means, and I recommend people go to blackboxvoting.org to see the map of what this means. Basically, what this is a takeover of the whole U.S. system under one handful of guys. There are a couple of small competitors. One of them is Sequoia, which is foreign owned. It was owned by some Venezuelans, and then I guess now the ownership is in Antilles somewhere. No one quite knows who owns it either.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, really on the ropes, and as I understand it, it's so on the ropes it doesn't even have the wherewithal to oppose this merger, even though it's going to probably be wiped out.
That's Sequoia you're talking about, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, Sequoia is, in fact, still tied to that Venezuelan firm that's tied to Hugo Chavez. They are now, I guess, the second competitor to Election Systems and Software, Inc. We call them ESNS.
Right.
But they were dwarfed by ESNS before this Diebold purchase. Now we're talking something like 120 million votes will be counted by ESNS, this private company.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's basically four competitors. When you look at the map, the graphic on our webpage, which really brings it home, you see a lot of other little kind of random, things here and there. But here's what we need to remember about any other companies but the big four. There are a series of certifications and new standards coming out. They aren't up to snuff on those standards. Most of them have the money to develop new product to get up to snuff, so they're going to be out of the way. So we're really essentially looking at four companies. One is foreign-owned. Three companies.
Three companies, that's right.
Becoming three. Now, the market share for the ESNS, what it will be, if and when it acquires Diebold, if it does not block by the antitrust actions, will be about three-quarters of the jurisdictions in America,
mm-hmm.
and about three-quarters of the votes.
Yeah, I'm looking at this map now that you made. It's a great map over at blackboxvoting.org. You show before and after this acquisition of Diebold. There was some variety across the country before with this acquisition. The country is now, and I don't know if you chose this color on purpose, but almost entirely red, where ESNS is running our public elections, this private company that has failed. And you mentioned people may not know what you meant by the Ivotronics in Sarasota. Those are the touch screens that they put out. They also put out optical scan systems that similarly don't work, but their touch screens dropped in just that one election alone in 2006 down in Sarasota County. 18,000 votes disappeared, and nobody to this day has been able to explain what happened to those votes in a race that was decided by 369 votes. 18,000 votes gone, race decided for the Republican, a U.S. House race, by 369 votes, and that's one issue with ESNS.
Yeah.
I mean, they have had problems everywhere.
Yeah. To see even more, I mean, this has been going on since 1990s. I have my book, voting online for free. If you scroll down to the right-hand column at blackboxvoting.org and download Chapter 2, it gives you a litany with citations of ESNS failures, where the machines did, you know, everything from flip votes to, you know, put all the straight party votes in the wrong bailiwick. In one case in Iowa, there were 300 votes, and it claimed there were 4 million. I mean, this company, when it screws up, it can screw up really royally.
Big time, man. Pottawatomie County, Iowa. I don't know if that's the same one you're talking about. In a Republican primary in 2006, they had to recount something like 8 or 9 of the races by hand, and these were opticals, and these were paper ballot races, but they trusted them to these op scan machines. They had to recount some 8 or 9 results changed because, guess what? The machines didn't work. The programming was wrong. That's ESNS, and Bev, I'm sure you can agree here. You've got the documentation at blackboxvoting.org. I've got it at bradblog.com. Votersunite.org also has
right.
it. You can look up the database of all the problems with ESNS. Problems all over the country. Thuggish behavior, by the way, where this company has come into jurisdictions and said, okay, here's our voting machines. They're cheap. You can afford them. We'll work out the prices and the maintenance contracts later. And then they come in like the mafia once these election officials are hooked on this e-voting drug, and they say, okay, now you're going to pay us through the nose if you want to continue using these machines you have come to
yes.
rely on.
And not only come to rely on, but the law, you know, requires that you have an election. So here you are 8 weeks before the election. You don't have the option of saying, I think I'll go shopping. And now
yeah.
in the state of New Mexico, the entire state was looking at getting rid of ESNS machines because they were jacking up the fees on these maintenance agreements, and the counties couldn't afford it. They were thinking of going to, guess what, the company that ESNS has now purchased. What people don't realize, even though this company is buying a company that we all agree makes crappy machines, the Diebold Premier Election Systems machines, the problem with a monopoly, when you have one company basically gaining control of the market, it affects suppliers. All of a sudden, they got a chokehold on their suppliers, and they can say, you print our ballots exactly the way we want, buy only the people we want, that's the way it is, take it or leave it. The same with your service technicians, the same with your parts. It tends to reduce quality and raise prices, which is the reason that monopolies are illegal.
And make no mistake about it, these public elections have been corporatized from top to bottom. Our friend Ellen Tyson over at VotersUnite.org put out a report on this and said straight up, if these companies were to go out of business tomorrow, we would not be able to hold elections in these United States of America. We're speaking with Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Bev for one more segment, and then your calls, 877-520-1150. Go on over to blackboxvoting.org. There's a link right at the top of the page where you can sign up to oppose the ESNS Diebold merger by filing a complaint with the DOJ, an antitrust complaint. And when you take a look at this map and you see how the entire country, every election virtually in the country, is going to be owned, run, programmed, counted by one company by the name of ESNS, I think you'll want to join that effort. If you don't want to join, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. You got to take your country back. Ain't nobody else going to do it for you. Stand up, people. Get to work. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. More with Bev Harris. And, Desi Doyen's coming up with the Green News. And later on, a big gay hour. You don't want to miss it. Stick with us.
What is love? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore.
Yes, it does matter. Keep it rolling. There you go. It is worth fighting for. We will fight for it here on the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. And you know what? You can't wait out, well, you can't wait until it's a week or two before an election to start worrying about election reform. We are speaking with, she's been on hold the whole time. Okay, we're speaking with Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org about the takeover of Diebold by ESNS. ESNS is the largest voting election machine company in the world, certainly in the nation. And now they're a hell of a lot larger because they've gotten away with their only substantive competition was Diebold. They've now swallowed them up. One company is going to be counting something like 120 million votes. I think it's outrageous. Bev Harris, you filed an antitrust complaint, and this is something that anybody can file with the DOJ?
Right. We are filing one, and not only that, but we will have a template available, and we will encourage others to file. Now, those of the listeners who are our attorneys will, you know, route them to some citations and some figures and so forth, so they can make it, you know, just their very own in their own special style. But for regular citizens like you and I, everybody can file these complaints. There's two organizations that really have to approve this merger. One is the Department of Justice, and one is the Federal Trade Commission.
Right.
So, and as far as from my reading of it, it violates the Clayton Act, which is an antitrust act, because it basically sets up an anti-competitive environment. There's a bunch of big numbers that you need to quote in order to do that. And, of course, the big challenge to the DOJ, and probably the reason ESNS thought they could get by with this, is it's fairly difficult to find out what the market share is and what's in each market. It, you know, took about 3 days to actually map out all 4,500 jurisdictions. But there's no question that ESNS will go from about a 35% market share to about a 75% market share, which is way over the indexes, which also, by the way, look at how many viable competitors there are. Well, two doesn't cut it, especially those two are really, particularly Sequoia is really on the ropes.
Let me see if I can get in a quick call here, a call or two here, Bev, if I can. Charlotte is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to the Malloy Show. What's up, Charlotte?
Hi, thanks for your filling in for Mike.
My pleasure. And I've only got a minute or two here, so if we can get right to your question.
I believe that when Diebold started to be an ugly word, that some of the people spun off from there and formed ESNS.
All right, thanks for that call, Charlotte. The Yurosevic brothers, can you give us the 30-second version of that, Bev Harris?
Oh, yeah, actually the two brothers named Yurosevic founded ESNS, and one split off when ESNS started getting a bad name and went to Global Election Systems, which became Diebold. There's a whole long story in behind that, but, you know, her point is correct. It's going to be one big inbred group of people who work here and then work there. I want to say a couple quick points. One is at the website, blackboxvoting.org, gives you that link to click. Get a little toolkit, really simple. You can either just do the very simple thing of filling out a template and sending it off, or, you know, you can, it'll show you kind of the ins and outs, and you can make it more creative if you want. It will really help for the Department of Justice to see that this is something that we really have a concern with.
Yeah,
also,
and
I'd like to point out that ESNS does something worse than Diebold, and that is that all of the little memory cards that are posted all over the country, ESNS programs those things in Omaha. In other words, it's not your local election official even programming that thing to conceal the count.
Yeah.
It is a company in Omaha sending it in-house.
As far as I'm concerned,
coming out of Omaha.
As far as I'm concerned, 75% running 75% of the elections, they shouldn't be running 1%. These should be public options, if you will, running our public elections. Let me see if John in Grand Rapids can ask his question in 10 seconds. John, go.
Real quick, I was just flummoxed that they didn't even appoint an election czar when all these czars were being appointed. like Jimmy Carter. We'd send him off for credibility in other countries. We needed an election czar at the beginning of this administration.
That sounds like an oxymoron. John, that sounds like an oxymoron to me, a democracy czar. Bev, you want to hit it in 10 seconds, literally, because I got to get out.
Well, I think we don't want a centralized control and the ending running one set of hands. We want the public involved in public elections.
Sounds good to me. Blackboxvoting.org. Check it out. Bev Harris, sign up. Join the antitrust complaint. Thanks, Bev, for your work there.
Thanks.
You bet. Desi Doyen and Green News coming up. Brad on The Molloy Show.
Wind was blowing, time stood still.
Scared at all.
Keep
it rolling, brother.
Clowns to the left and jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle, no place I would rather be. Here on the Mike Molloy Show, Brad Friedman in for Brad in for Mike, the guy from bradblog.com. There we go. Got it right. Thank you. I know where I'm from. Hey, DUers, truth seekers, forgot to say hello to you tonight. Always good to see you in fine fettle over at DU. They are fighting it out with Glenn, this guy who proudly calls himself Glenn, over on the chat room at bradblog.com. If you've never been there, go to bradblog.com. The very first item where we run down today's Mike Molloy program, click the click here for more button, and you'll be in the chat room. And go ahead, have your say, and edumacate that Glenn fellow a little bit. Be nice, be polite, but sounds like someone's starving for facts. We're going to have Desi Doyen and the Green News Report here very shortly. I did have a... What happened? Oh, I lost... okay, Lynette's got it also up in Los Angeles. Lynette, very quickly, welcome to the Mike Molloy program.
Hi, Brad.
Brad, yeah, that's
me. First-time caller. I have two things.
All right.
One, the Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case about corporate free speech.
Yep.
And, of course, it's going to make the difference between if Exxon spent 1% of its profits to fund whatever they want to say, it would absolutely outspend Obama and McCain.
This is a huge case.
Campaign finance reform.
It's a huge case
also,
tomorrow.
There's going to be
hang on, Lynette. Hang on, Lynette.
Thursday at the Reagan Building at 4 o'clock. Everyone, UTLA, Community Coalition, can I leave their phone number?
You better not leave a phone number, but where is it? Up in? Give us a website. You got one, Lynette?
I don't have a website. I have
okay.
a phone number for Community Coalition, and it's going to be at the Ronald Reagan Building at 4 o'clock this Thursday. It's about time for big change.
All right. Thanks for the call, Lynette. Yeah, that's a big case that's being heard tomorrow. Really flying under the radar, frankly. It's going to change the way the corporations, who apparently aren't able to give enough money right now to candidates, they're going to be able to give unlimited dollars directly to candidates. No reason to even fool folks with these PACs and this soft money anymore. They'll just be able to give it straight to them. This is judicial activism, and this is what your right-wing Supreme Court wanted to hear. They actually wanted to have this case before them. And I suspect we'll be talking about it in the weeks, months, and perhaps years ahead. Hey, Des.
Hey.
How are you? Are you ready for some of the Green News Report here?
Yeah.
All right. Desi Doyen joins us. She's my co-host on the Green News Report, heard on many fine radio stations, progressive and otherwise. And if the Green News Report is not heard on your progressive station, it's just 6 minutes. They play it at the top of the hour in many radio stations. It's quite delightful, funny, informative, newsy, and should we play it here and then come back and discuss?
Yeah, that would be great.
All right. Were you happy with today's episode, by the way, of the Green News Report?
Yes, happy with it, and we'll have a chance to have everybody else be happy with it.
You haven't listened to it since you recorded it, have you? You have no idea. All right, we'll find out now. Here's today's Green News Report with myself and Desi Doyen. Bring it on, Tony.
It's Tuesday, September 8, 2009.
The rising cost of fighting fires. Jaws is back. Back to school with swine flu. Plus,
if we have the opportunity to fight both poverty and pollution by putting people to work in these new industries, we would be wise as a country to do that. That is common ground.
An advocate for green jobs loses his own.
And America loses a great public servant. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this is your Green News Report. Okay, it's a very sad week, frankly, for Americans and their opportunities when it comes to green jobs, the environment, poverty. We will get to that in a minute. First, the Green News headlines, Desi Doyen.
The Station Fire, the largest in Los Angeles County history, is, as of today, the only 60% contained, with full containment expected sometime next week. In the 2 weeks the fire has ravaged the Angeles National Forest, it spread over 250 square miles. 78 homes were destroyed, and two veteran firefighters lost their lives. Arson is suspected, with the state offering $100,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. California spent over $40 million. That's over 60% of its annual firefighting budget on several fires around the state in just the first month of the fire season. Federal funds from FEMA will likely offset most of the cost to the state since the Station Fire is located on federal lands. The frequency of big wildfires is predicted to increase along with the costs of fighting them in coming decades as global warming further exacerbates drought, reduces snowpack, and brings on earlier snowmelts that are increasingly drying out the West.
By the way, Desi, I did not notice any of the wingnuts on Fox News complaining about the socialized firefighting that was going on in our socialized national forests out here in California.
That's right. Representative Adam Schiff, who is a Southern California congressional representative, mentioned that there were no complaints at town halls about the socialized firefighting system that is saving people's homes.
How odd.
Jaws is back.
You yell barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
A report of several great white sharks lurking off the coast of Cape Cod has caused quite a stir. The great whites are rare in the frigid waters off the New England coast, but official reaction today shows how much times have changed. Back in the 80s, a big shark hunt might have been launched, like that in the movie Jaws, but instead of killing the animals just for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, officials are treating the event as a rare research opportunity. Great white sharks are an extremely elusive species. Only one great white shark in history has ever been successfully tagged in the Atlantic. Until now. So far, marine biologists have successfully tagged two sharks with satellite tracking devices. The great white shark, like all predators in our oceans, are in steep decline due to human activities. But some things haven't changed, though. Some local businesses and residents were angry that officials closed several Cape Cod beaches to swimmers over the big Labor Day weekend.
Over the big Labor Day weekend, just like the movie Jaws.
That's funny how that works.
Yeah, but this time they actually closed them.
Perhaps yes, they
did. Learned their lesson.
In keeping with warnings from the Obama administration for citizens to be aware of a resurgence in this fall of the flu virus H1N1, commonly known as swine flu, now it appears that 2,000 students at Washington State University have contracted the virus in the first week of school, the largest outbreak on any college campus in the nation. The university says that most of the cases are moderate to mild and no students have been hospitalized, but the effort is straining health services on campus. Public health experts are warning hospitals and medical facilities around the country to prepare for a potential crush of cases this fall.
And let me clarify, 2,000 students complaining of swine flu-like symptoms. They don't necessarily have the swine flu at this time.
Yes, officials are treating them as if they do, since many of them have tested positive.
The values that underlie this clean energy conversation, which we don't speak to directly enough, are the common ground values of America.
That was now former special advisor to the White House Council on Environmental Quality, Van Jones, speaking about common ground among all Americans at last month's National Clean Energy Summit in Las Vegas. Jones resigned over the weekend after right-wing media outlets launched a concerted attack led by right-wing TV and talk radio host Glenn Beck. Van Jones is the founder of the nonprofit Green for All, advocating for green jobs training for inner-city kids, and the author of the bestseller The Green Collar Economy, promoting an entrepreneurial approach to a clean energy economy with green jobs that can't be outsourced overseas. Although Jones apologized for his past statements, the attacks may be in retaliation for a boycott recently launched by the nonprofit group Color of Change.
Maybe.
Social justice organization co-founded by Jones, but that he has since left. Color of Change has convinced over 50 major advertisers to drop support of Glenn Beck's show in the last month after Glenn Beck made statements calling President Obama a racist, among other things.
Make no mistake, this is a high-tech lynching. This is political terrorism. This is McCarthyism. This is the Fox News thought police, and it has cost this country, as far as I'm concerned, a great public servant who was fighting for eco-capitalism and putting together some extraordinary ideas with some extraordinary people. It's a shameful moment, both for the right wing and for the Obama administration, as far as I'm concerned.
But don't take our word for it. Decide for yourself. Check out our roundup of the analysis on our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
We'll leave you with a couple more words from the now former Green Jobs Advisor, Van Jones. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
This is our opportunity as a country, and it comes along very rarely, to take the people who most need work and connect them to the work that most needs to be done to fight pollution and poverty at the same time and be one country. Let's be one country. Thank you very much.
All right, well, that was our Green News for today. And, of course, heard on stations around the country. And if it's not heard on yours, well, call them and tell them you want to hear it. Because we try to stick to the news that matters and not the crap you hear on, too many news broadcasts and radio stations. Des, nice job today.
Well, thanks.
So we're looking at cap and trade. This green legislation, climate change legislation, was supposed to be, is already passed in the House. That's the Waxman-Markey bill. It was supposed to be passed in, well, introduced in the Senate this week.
Right. Senator Barbara Boxer, right? And Senator John Kerry both had initially planned that they were going to introduce the Senate version of the American Clean Energy and Security Act. It's no longer Waxman-Markey now that it's in the Senate. So it's ACES, A-C-E-S, American Clean Energy and Security Act. They were going to announce
that. It's called ACES?
ACES, for short. Well, they were going to announce that today, to introduce that today, but they decided to postpone it about 3 weeks ago.
Why? Did something come up?
There were a couple of things that came up. They said, first of all, they didn't want it to get stomped on by the health care debate, and also Senator Kerry had hip surgery. Good thing he's got health insurance through the Congress. And so, you know, and Senator Boxer also had mentioned in a couple of media reports that she wanted to make sure that they had covered all the bases and done everything they could to lay the groundwork so that when they roll this out, not only do they introduce the bill, but they also have their strategy for the expected backlash from the Republicans, because obviously the Republicans are against anything. So.
Yes, and yeah, good luck with getting that strategy. By the way, Kerry doesn't only have health insurance via the Congress, he also has the socialized health care because he's a veteran, so from the Veterans Administration service, he's enjoying that socialized health care.
Indeed, he does.
That our troops enjoy. We don't, but the troops do, because they deserve the best, as William Crystal said.
Yes,
so they get the best with socialized health care, but not us. Anyway, the effort during the summer to do to these town halls what they did with the health care, there was an effort by the coal company, by the petroleum companies.
Basically, all the fossil fuel companies were doing, basically taking a page out of the
health care. To game the town hall, yeah. Was it successful? Did it work?
It does not seem to have been to have worked, because a recent Washington Post ABC poll showed that most Americans, a majority of Americans, are in favor of cap and trade legislation. You know, a lot of them don't exactly know what it means, but they are in favor of clean energy legislation, climate legislation, and the Obama administration's approach and handling of clean energy legislation. So the AstroTurf groups that are out there, there was a memo that was put out by the American Petroleum Institute, an internal memo where they said, let's bus our employees down to these rallies around the country in August, which they have done, and but people don't seem to be falling for it. They seem to be pretty clear that this is all AstroTurfing.
That's because they haven't gotten started yet.
It's not easy being green.
Anyway, that's our Green News Report with the Green News Report Live Extra. Thanks to you, Desi. Thanks for coming in for chatting about that. We'll see you again on Thursday with some more Green News, no doubt. Well done.
There's always more to talk about.
Damn it. There sure is. All right. Thanks. All right. Brad Friedman in from Malloy coming back with your calls. Oh, a couple people dropped their calls. Hey, we're about to go on the air. Give us a call, 877-520-1150. And we'll get to right after this break.
And green can be cool and friendly like.
Taking a slow ride across the country, coast to coast, and around the globe with the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Oh, it's hopping over there at the bradblog.com chat room. You'll have fun over there. Give our best to Agent 99, and let me thank her right now for hosting the chat room, because I'll probably forget at the end of the show, like I always do. Taking your calls, 877-520-1150. Next hour, the big gay hour with some big breaking news from Mike Rogers of Page One Q. If you don't know Mike, he's the guy who, let's see, he outed Larry Craig. He outed Mark Foley. He doesn't like to call it outing. He calls it reporting. I concur. Anyway, let's get to some calls here before we run out of time, and then we have the big gay hour. But you can call us then, too. Okay, let's see. Martin. No, Stuart in Los Angeles. Martin, I'll get to you in a second. Hang on. Yeah, Stuart, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, Brett, great job.
Thank you.
About Van Jones. You know, when I remember when Rummy tried to retire, Bush wouldn't let him.
That's right. He
you
didn't.
I just saw, you know, can't we do something? I mean, you know, bad enough we got Timothy Geithner instead of... Paul Krugman. You know, we got Van Jones, a really good environmental guy.
Yep.
And Hilda Solis better watch out, because I think she's pretty clean, but she's very pro-labor. I mean, we got to stop these right-wingers.
Well, they're going to come at whoever they can, and if you bend, they smell blood in the water right now. We played the Jaws theme during the Green News Report. There's going to be more. These guys do have to stand up. I completely agree with you. Thanks for that call, Stuart. Let me get down to Martin in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Martin.
Good evening, Brian.
Good evening.
Let me just preface my observations by saying I am very cynical about politicians. I don't care which party they're from.
Okay. I can't understand why you would be, Martin.
I grew up in England, and my favorite graffiti as a kid was the line that said, "It doesn't matter who you vote for, son. Government always wins." So the government implying for most of human history the machinations of a very small, greedy, ambitious minority who are looking how to exploit everybody else.
Yep.
And, you know, being English, I know all about divide and rule. And Hegel brought this, and I'm making a point here, but please be patient with me. Hegel.
I can't be patient because I got to get to the end of the hour, Martin, so you got to have to wrap it up.
Okay.
Sorry.
So Hegel made the point that the best way to do this is you control the opposition, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And democracy is the perfect way. And I would suggest that it's not that the Democrats today are spineless, so they didn't stand up for Van Jones, or they're naive, so that they put the wolves to look after the sheep, for instance, Geithner and others, or they drop the ball because they're innocent, they don't know what they're doing. I would say they are very calculated, know exactly what they're doing. The job of the Democratic Party is to give the appearance of a choice.
You are cynical, Martin, and I got to go. Thanks for your call. I'm not sure I'm quite as cynical as Martin there, that it's the appearance to give the appearance of a choice. I think they believe they're different. I really do. I just think they don't know how to stand up for that difference. We need to help them understand they need to be different. We're counting on them. Mark in Cleveland, very quickly, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Hi. I've done a lot of work for President Obama throughout the campaign and now with Organizing for America for the healthcare reform. My question to you really is, even though we're so disappointed, you know, the progressive movement, and we have reason to be, how do we turn our backs on this president when he's under such attack?
We don't turn our backs. We demand that he does the right thing. How's that work, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, we do have to demand it.
And we don't roll over and we say, he's a Democrat. We got to support him no matter what. No, we say, forget it. We voted you in. And when I say we, I don't mean me because I didn't vote for it. But you were voted in to do these things. Now do it, damn it, or we will go elsewhere. Does that make sense, Mark? We got to stop making excuses for these guys. He's not playing super duper double dare you three dimensional chess. He said, make me do it. Let's make him do it, Mark.
Yeah, we continue to try.
We are going to...
We're
going to
be disappointed here and there, and I just can't turn my back on him.
Do or do not, there is no try, said Yoda. We will do it. We will raise hell. We'll make sure they get it and get it right. Or die trying. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Big Gay Hour coming up next. Don't miss it. Bradblog.com, your friendly investigative citizen journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty to be the media and to give our dear friend Mike Malloy and Kathy Malloy a break. So we're broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California. Our number is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. We'll try to fit in your calls here because this is our Big Gay Hour. Don't tell Mike I'm having a big gay hour here. He may have a problem with it. I don't know. No, I don't think he would. Mike Rogers is going to be joining us momentarily from page1q.com and blogactive.com. Some breaking news, and if you don't know Mike, you probably know his work. He is one of the most important and effective journalists in this nation, as far as I'm concerned. So we're going to get to him in a moment, and I need to wish my mother once again a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. I love you. And so, as I say, if you want to wish my mom happy birthday, you can call us at 877-520-1150. I don't know if Gustav Mahler, that's what he calls himself, in the chat room over at bradblog.com, the live show chat room we've got going on there. I don't know if he's serious or not. Of course, he says once gays can get married... People will marry their pets and their plants. Yeah. Tony's nodding. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to marry your plant or your pet? I'll hope Gustav Mahler is kidding. Otherwise, give us a call, Gustav. We'd love to talk to you on the air. I'm sure you're brave enough to explain that one and the implication that only certain people get equal rights in this country. All right. Fighting for those equal rights, then. Oops. I'll get these phones figured out. There we go. I'll figure it out before the week is done.
There we go.
Hey, Mike. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. You know, and I forgot to mention that our San Francisco affiliate, Green 960, is now adding, is now picking us up live this hour. And frankly, not a moment too soon. Because I don't think they want to miss you, Mike, and the Big Gay Hour. We've been doing these anytime someone is silly enough to let me on the air, going back for years when I used to have my own weekend show, I'd bring Mike on for the Big Gay Hour. And back then, Mike, it was a different world. do the issues that these right-wingers are bringing out, all this, he's gay, gay marriage against that, does it have the effect that it used to anymore in this country?
I think we've been able to diffuse that to some degree, but as we see around the country, the politicians have basically thrown the work to these hateful organizations. And in many cases, they're being, if not most cases, they're being successful, for example, with these marriage amendments. So, and a lot of the same political establishment, of course, is supporting those. I do think it's become less fashionable, quote-unquote, to beat up gay people, because the conservatives realize that every day they do that, they're ticking off young people, and their only hope is to reach some young people, which they've done a pretty poor job of.
And can I just clear this up? Can we not call them conservatives? Because they're really not. If they were conservative, they would believe in the Constitution and the equal protection under the law. So these are right-wingers.
Yeah, but people don't register with fascists.
Well, let's help them start registering. Fascist right-wingers who want to decide who has equal rights and who doesn't, basically.
Well, what they want is, they don't want equal, and this is something I was saying to a friend the other day, they don't want equal rights, they want equal whites. And
equal,
you know, what
whites?
We're seeing now is so much of this is based in racism.
Did you? Oh, equal and whites. I got you. Okay.
They want equal whites.
Yeah.
So, so much of this, and they, you know, whether it's using the same people who they're going after, you know, with Obama and was he born here in the U.S., and these are the people who want to take away your freedom to practice your religion based on the fact that these gays want to get married. So it's really, nothing happens in a vacuum. That's the bottom line, and that's what's happening with these right-wingers. They're changing tactics, but they also need, and they're learning, finally, in a lot of places, that if they keep going after the gay people, you're going to find people like Steve Schmidt, who was McCain's own campaign manager. You're going to find people like Meghan McCain, the daughter of the presidential nominee, saying to the party, this is not going to work. This is losing more people than it's gaining. And, of course, they're in a tizzy because they need those haters. They also need them because they have nothing. They don't have issues. They only have manipulation. And that's what their big dilemma is now. Do they go after the gays and beat them up and lose young people, or do they go after rights and equality like they have called for and lose the kind of haters who were never really for their agenda?
Well, that's right. They weren't. And you rattled off a couple of Republicans who have stood out and done the right thing here. I think we should include Theodore Olson in this, who's joining in this case that he's, I guess, going to the Supreme Court. Is the case where he's standing up for marriage equality, is that related to Prop 8, essentially, to overturn Prop 8 out here in California?
It is. I have some problems with what he's doing and how he's doing it, but I certainly am glad to see that Olson is on the right side of history on this one. He basically has circumvented 30 years of work at leading organizations and judicial firms and, you know, all of these things, and kind of ridden in on his pony at the very end of the game, and is going to say, you know, it's kind of like the ninth inning relief pitcher who scores one run and gets scored, you know, the win. But when reality, it took a whole lot of other people to be there to make that happen.
Well,
so I'm a little worried about that. And they actually argued against those groups being able to be parties to the case, and that was very disturbing to some of us.
But that who argued against them being parties?
They did. They said basically what happened was is,
wait, are we talking about Ted Olson argued against
that case?
Okay.
LGBT leaders, gay leaders across the country,
okay,
who've been involved in organizations like Lambda Legal Defense, like the National Center for Lesbian Rights, that have been really groundbreaking all the way on these marriage issues and civil rights issues for decades.
Mm-hmm.
They had been behind a lot of this effort, and when Boies and Olson filed their suit, they actually asked the court to not allow those groups to submit briefs as well in the case.
Huh.
And they won that. They had that done, and they wanted to have more people joining the case, and they were told, those groups were told no.
And that's David Boies, who's arguing he went to the Supreme Court on behalf of Al Gore in 2000 unsuccessfully, but he has joined with Ted Olson, who was, for folks who don't know, the Solicitor General for the Bush administration. So I get your point here, although, yes, on the right side of history, and I think we got to take it where we can get it, frankly, at this point,
hey,
with these guys.
I'm all for that.
All right. Well, we're speaking with Mike Rogers, the publisher of page1q.com and blogactive.com. He's also the star if I can use that. You probably won't like it. But of the new documentary film, Outrage, which I haven't seen. It played here for a few days, and I didn't get to see it, and nobody sent me a copy, a screening copy, hint, hint, Mike Rogers.
But I didn't know you hadn't seen it.
No, I hadn't seen it. I would really love to see it because it documents your work as a journalist reporting on these hypocritical right-wingers. You were responsible, frankly, for, and I know you hate this word, but this is the result, outing
right.
Senator Larry Craig. You were the first guy, I think, to have that anywhere publicly months before, frankly, it broke in the mainstream media that Senator Larry Craig was a, what do we call him now?
Closeted anti-gay guy.
There you go. Similarly with Mark Foley and in the film Outrage, the allegation is made that Charlie Crist is also gay. Now, why... I hate to tread this ground, but why does it matter? And then we'll get to the new guy who you have also reported on as being gay, yet another Republican. Why does it matter if Larry Craig, Mark Foley, Charlie Crist, etc. are gay?
Well,
and why are you ruining their lives, Mike?
Well, why am I destroying their lives, right? Yeah. A lot of people ask that. I do think it's important in terms of the movie, whether it's screenings or who's in the movie and who's outed. It wasn't my movie. I'm a subject of a documentary. I'm certainly the most in the movie subject of the documentary.
It was a Kirby Dick's film, we should say.
Right. Kirby Dick, the Oscar-nominated director, has done a stellar job of putting the movie together.
I wouldn't know.
And, well, this is the first I'm hearing, but I don't even have press screenings.
Oh,
but we'll get you one of those,
okay,
Brad.
All right, okay.
We'll make sure that something gets
all
you.
All right, I appreciate that.
drop me an email.
All right.
My people get on it.
All right, yeah, okay.
So in the case of Larry Craig, that was absolutely my story, no question. And in the movie, there's a clip of Matt Lauer talking about that. There are folks who were in there, Ed Schrock, my very first case, I think right about when the time I met you, Brad, when we when I broke the story with the recordings of him going on phone sex
lines right.
looking for sex with men. So in those cases, those are my stories. The story about Crist in the movie is not my story. I did not break the story that Charlie Crist is gay, although I certainly believe he's gay, and that is a story that is in there. It's featured prominently in the film, and it shows sources who were at places who know people who have said they've had sex with Crist on multiple occasions and different sources and different information. So that is part of the movie, albeit that's not exactly one of my cases. A number of my cases are in there, a good number, and that's what, you know, the stuff that I've been working on, and it's been really exciting to see finally in one place kind of a whole brought together explanation of what I do, which is not really out people, although of course that's the term that everyone uses.
Well, hang on a second. I got to get to a break. We're going to get more from Mike Rogers. He's going to tell us who he has now newly outed and once again why it actually matters. We didn't get to that point, Mike. I'll hold you to that after this break. Brad in for Malloy with Mike Rogers on the Big Gay Hour on the Mike Malloy program. We will take your calls 877-520-1150 right after this.
Children are crying, politicians are lying too. Cancer is killing, Texaco's spilling. The whole world's gone to hell, but how are you? I'm super, thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super, no, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute?
in this habit.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show's Big Gay Hour. Brad Friedman in. Oh, you keep it playing. That's all right. Big Gay Hour here with Mike Rogers of blogactive.com and page1q.com. He's also the subject, there we go, or one of the subjects of a new documentary film called Outrage. And we're talking about Mike's work. We're going to get to some other big gay issues. And your calls, if you want, 877-520-1150. We're talking about his work outing guys, and I'm using it for shorthand, I know, but reporting on the real actual sex lives of guys like Larry Craig, Mark Foley, Charlie Crist, who he didn't out, but he did out the other two guys, and why it matters. So, Mike, quickly, because we're getting to the bottom of the hour, why does it matter? And then who's the latest subject of your reporting that has caused some waves?
It matters because no community should be expected to harbor its own enemies from within that community. And as long as these people are going to be out there using my life as an example of the things they have problems with or issues with or don't want equality for, while they want equality living under a similar set of rules that they don't have to follow, that's why it's important. And, you know, frankly, I think there are a lot of people who will continue to do it because it's so important.
And so these are guys who and women, frankly, who you have, who you know about. You know that they're gay. They're living secretly gay, closeted. And you're outing them only because they're doing things like voting against your interest. Other folks who are in the closet, you don't out as long as they don't betray the community. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. I know a number of closeted gay politicians who are on both sides of the aisle. It's not a Democrat or Republican issue. But they're not out there beating up gay people every day on their watch.
Okay.
That's what I'm busy fighting against.
And so a couple of days ago, you had a new outing. Give it to us. Who'd you out there, Mike? Who now?
Well, what's interesting about this case, Brad, is that it wasn't really that much of a big known case. The guy's name is Andre Bauer. He is the lieutenant governor of the state of South Carolina. And normally this would be a non-issue. I mean, mm-hmm. People would have said to me, big deal, who cares? But because the guy he's the number two for is in a little bit of his own hot water,
mm-hmm.
Our buddy Mark Sanford, who is, you know, went down to South America to sleep with the soulmate and all of those things, he basically now, the state of South Carolina is in a position of either allowing the corrupt guy to stay as governor or giving the job to the gay guy.
Right.
So,
and he's the one.
Kind of in a tizzy.
And it's Sanford who has been accused of spreading this. You wrote, Mike, I have confirmed and spoken to four individuals who I have no doubt are telling me the truth. These men have been hit on by Bauer, with one of them telling me it happened at least five times since Bauer's election in 03 to a varying degree. I have met with and believe the sources, and as you recall, I have that 100% record. Yes, you do. So we've got a philanderer and a closeted gay guy. And when we come back, I think I've got his non-denial. But why does it matter? Has he been out there fighting against gay rights, Mike?
Oh, he was a big supporter of Huckabee and went so far as to write about Huckabee and how Huckabee supports traditional marriage. And then he's also been in bed completely with the radical right wing in South Carolina. It's really, it's quite astonishing what the right wing down there. I mean, they've even gone so far as to try to fight for license plates that say, I believe, and on those I believe license plate is a picture of a stained glass window with a cross.
Hang on, Mike. Mike Rogers, much more straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy. Our Big Gay Hour, more after this.
Presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can. In as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN. No.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away. Or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. We're calling it our Big Gay Hour. We're speaking with Mike Rogers, the big gay publisher of page1q.com, blogactive.com, and also can be seen, his work can be seen in the new documentary film Outrage. And he has recently outed South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer, who is said to be the, who is likely to be, I suppose, the candidate against Mark Sanford, the philandering governor. What a sexual mess they got out there in South Carolina, Mike.
I mean, what is it, the water down there?
I know.
Something. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
You're thinking of moving to South Carolina, aren't you?
Listen, there's an awful lot of sex. If sex is your thing, South Carolina is your place.
Here's what Andre Bauer said when he was confronted about this by a reporter. I think this was today. Is that right?
Did he say he wasn't gay?
Well, it's hard to tell what he said. Here, give it a listen.
There are recent rumors regarding your sexual orientation that Governor Mark Sanford is behind this push to discuss this issue and to bring it up. You responded to that. Why did you respond to the question regarding your sexual orientation? Whose business is it?
Well, like you and I discussed before this, I don't really think it's a proper question. I think it's a little bit ridiculous, and it's sad politics has gotten to that. But if somebody had a question, I didn't have a problem going ahead and airing it and getting that out of the way, because I don't want it to linger, much like this other problem is lingering. I want to move forward. I want to talk about real issues of how you improve job growth, how you get education at a better level than it is now, how you fix the budget problem that we've got, not continue to dwell on some silly question in the first place.
So you think that by answering the question, you end that issue so that we can perhaps move in a different direction and talk about some relevant issues?
I sure hope it ends the issue, because it's not important. It's not something we should be talking about in politics. But I don't want people to dwell on it. I don't want to continue to have to hear about it. I want to go ahead and nip it in the bud and move forward with real issues that can improve South Carolina.
Okay, I don't think I heard a no in there. Did you, Mike?
Not in that clip or any clip. I listened to the entire interview, actually, and he will not say it's not true, because he knows, in fact, it is true.
And he says it's silly. There's no business even having this discussion. But here is a guy who has supported folks who have made
some of the worst.
What's that?
Some of the worst.
Yeah, who I was going to say who have made their bones on anti-gay legislation, anti-equality legislation. And
exactly.
So it does matter, I think. All right, let's see. And let me want to get to a couple of other, a number of other gay topics here. But let me give you a almost random question that you will decline to answer, I'm guessing.
I never discuss the cases I'm working on. Feel free to ask away.
Okay. This, oh, damn it. Well, it's in the chat room. Tim from L.A. wanted to know if George W. Bush and Victor Ash got a thing. I don't know who Victor Ash is, do you?
Does he mean Victor Ash, the former mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee, who became the Bush appointee to the as ambassador to Poland? That Victor Ash?
I'm not sure. And actually, now that I read it, he didn't say George W. Bush. He said George Bush. So he wants to if Victor Ash and George Bush were lovers.
Well, I never discuss the cases I'm working on. But I'm going to assume that he means the former mayor of Knoxville who George W. Bush appointed as his ambassador to Poland.
Uh-huh.
I have nothing that I could be able to report on that story.
Okay. Well, thank you for being responsible at this time. And we should add, by the way, and I believe I heard this morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, whose chair I am now sitting in as we broadcast from Stephanie's studio here in L.A. She reported that Ben and Jerry, to celebrate marriage equality in Vermont, was changing the name of Chubby Hubby Ice Cream to Hubby Hubby Ice Cream.
Those darned homosexuals, Brad.
And
they're infiltrating the ice cream industry.
They are infiltrating the ice cream industry, and I'm happy to say you hadn't heard that story when I told you about it, right?
I had not. I learned about it from you.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think what it shows is, it shows, you know, I do think there's a fun thing about that. I mean, you know, hello, it's Ben and Jerry's. They're just a fun company.
Yeah.
But what I think it shows is that there's more and more of an acceptance in corporate America. And yes, certainly Ben and Jerry's is, you know, of the left and a liberal. But what's amazing is that to come out and do things in such a public way, it basically says, and if you don't like our ice cream, then don't buy it.
Yeah.
If you don't like what we stand for as a company, oh well.
Yeah, or conversely, if you do like what they stand for, go out and buy their ice cream. And I think that's a great idea. Go out and buy some Hubby Hubby as soon as it appears. We're going to get to some calls in a second. 877-520-1150.
I love the calls.
You love the calls? All right, bring on the calls, biatches. Now, the divorce rate in Massachusetts...
Lowest
in the country. In the how long has Massachusetts had gay marriage allowed out there?
I think it's 4 years now, right?
Four or five years.
Yeah.
And their divorce rate has dropped, I understand, something like almost a full percent. It hasn't been this low since before World War II, as I understand it. What is
well,
this?
You know, I believe that because clearly the state has healthier attitudes about things like that. And, you know, even if you disagree with it, the facts are the facts. If you don't think that people should be able to, you know, up and get married, you know, they say they want to, quote, unquote, protect marriage, which whatever that means, as if we're barbarians at the gate. But when they talk about wanting to protect marriage, this is yet another example where the gays get married. Marriage is protected. Marriage is better for the fact over that. So I think it's yet a further argument to allow equality and to bring it on, which I think the reality here, though, is what we know is going to happen. Equality is coming.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to stop it. It's just going to be a matter of how fast it is.
Right.
And although I do have concerns about the radical right wing rising up and picking up arms, and that would be a whole other situation, which, you know, those very plausible scenarios, as I always tell my friends, nobody's buying millions and millions and millions of semi-automatic weapons to go duck hunting.
Right.
So, but as it stands now, it's a battle that they're certainly losing over time, as evidenced by polling of young, quote-unquote, conservatives or young self-identified Republicans. They're like, who cares about these gay things? It's like, it's not part of my life, and leave me alone. The one argument that I don't hear much of and that it really throws them for a loop is this. When I meet one of these anti-gay people who have no interest in hearing about gay equality and all that, I say, so you're content if your child marries a closeted gay person in order to be married? You're down with that? And, you know, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want my kid to be married to someone who doesn't love them.
Fair enough.
And that's really what happens.
Yeah, and yeah, once it affects them, look, even Dick Cheney with a heart of coal, I think he has no heart, is frankly more to the left on this these days than Barack Obama. I've been beating up so much on Obama, I wanted to give him a break for a few minutes. We'll beat him up after this call from Robert in San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Brad, I just love it every time I hear you get on Mike's show. I don't know, my heart just beats a little bit faster.
Bless you, sir.
Mine too.
Well, that's the same with Jeff Ferris and Peter B. Collins. But anyway, this thing about lying, it's like a prerequisite to be a politician. So lying about your you know, your sexual orientation is probably par for the course. I mean, I think a lot of Republicans, maybe political people, have that issue. But it leaves people wide open to blackmail and cognitive cognitive dissonance, possibly mind control. I've got a secret I can't tell anybody about, or we've got a secret we can't tell anybody about, which is kind of like what happened tonight at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. We were talking about 9/11, and we had a bunch of people who couldn't believe that. It was done an inside job, and by the time it was over, almost everybody agreed that there were some serious problems with the story. So cognitive dissonance, blackmail lying, we need to get this out of our political system completely. And if we can do it with sexual orientation as well, I think we should.
Fair enough. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate that thought. Mike, it does open them up to blackmail when they have a secret like this. And I don't know if you've gotten to read any of the disclosures from Sybil Edmonds, who was finally able to give her testimony under oath a couple of weeks ago. We haven't even been able to cover it this week, but it's an extraordinary story. And she talks about a number of Congress members who are being blackmailed. She alleges she was an FBI translator. And one of them, she says, was blackmailed a Democratic woman, married congresswoman, who she says was lured into a lesbian affair and was videotaped by Turkish agents, folks working for the Turkish government, that this was used as blackmail against this woman who she didn't name.
I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why. You don't believe it, you said.
I don't believe it.
Okay, why is that?
Because if that story came out, that whether or not it was true,
yeah,
that woman would be reelected anyway. I can't imagine. First of all, I don't believe it. First of all, I don't believe the story. That's
which part of the story?
The whole thing, lured into a thing and filmed, and I just don't buy it.
Okay.
It sounds so preposterous.
Okay.
Although, but.
Let me respond to say she's passed a polygraph test that was given to her by the FBI. The Inspector General of the Department of Justice said she's her allegations are serious, warranting a serious investigation, that she's credible. Chuck Grassley and Pat Leahy both have said that she's serious and credible and have spoken up on her behalf. That said, go ahead, tell us why you don't buy it.
I don't buy it. Because why would they go after somebody that the story would have no effect on their political career?
She's married. She has children.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
In the district this woman serves, bisexuality would be a bonus.
So you know which district it is, do you?
Oh, I know. I'm okay. Very well aware of the story.
And so bisexuality, even though she's a married woman?
I believe it's... hello, look at these guys. I mean, I think that, frankly, if this story came out in the way it's been told to me, people would look at it and think it was a joke.
Okay. We're
now, could I be wrong? You know, I've been wrong before.
You said you got 100% record. Mike, hold your thought. I got to get to a break. We'll come back with another minute or two with Mike Rogers of blogactive.com and page1q.com. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. A few more minutes, and if you want to get in your calls, 877-520-1150 right after this.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Another minute or two here with Mike Rogers of page1q.com, blogactive.com in our big gay hour. But since I always run out of time, let me do my thanks here. My thanks to Tony Sorrentino, engineering tonight. Desi Doyen out there, our lovely producer and screener. Ben Birch over at whiteRoseSociety.org. Agent 99 at the chat room over at BradBlog. Sorry, I missed you last night there, 99. K-Talk AM 1150 for hosting us here, and of course Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit to fill his big shoes, to sit in his big chair, something like that. All right, Mike, as we're wrapping up here, a chat room question. Are you working on outing any lesbians, says the chat room questioner. I'm not sure who it was. Desi typed it in to me over on the screener here, but... we always hear about... oh, I got to bring them on, don't I? We always hear about men. What about women?
The bottom line is that there are, you know, people say, how come you're not going after women? I don't get the tips. I don't believe there are that many secreted anti-gay closeted lesbians. I think that women, for a whole host of reasons, don't get into that position. And the tips that I have reported on some folks in the past who are women. But, like, people say to me, why not more Democrats? And I say, well, you know, the fact that I don't out more Democrats says a lot more about the Republican Party than it does about who I'm outing. So, at the end of the day, the cases are just not there. If they would be there, then I would certainly report on them.
And in the case, for example, that you said you don't buy, the Sybil Edmonds allegation, this woman, congresswoman who's a Democrat.
Right.
If you you say you know who it is, presuming you know who it is.
If I found out that was a true case,
right,
I would absolutely not report it.
Why?
Because she's not against gay people.
Okay.
She's done nothing at all that I know of that has had a negative effect on the gay community.
All right, fair enough. And I think that's a very fair standard that you have, Mike. Now, before we, not enough time here, but okay, Barack Obama, I hate to go back in here. He's screwing this thing up, isn't he? I mean, what about the concerns the gay folks, you guys, put him in office, and is he showing up for you, Mike?
There are certainly concerns about Barack Obama. Let me be very clear, and I have been one of those people who has expressed a fair amount of disappointment in his lack of action in terms of the gay community. I think that probably people around him are giving him some bad advice. I think that there are some people around him who think he'll be putting himself in a Clinton position. That happened with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, although it is, of course, 16 years later.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what I want to know is, and I think it's time to pressure him, and I mean, I certainly was part of that, all that pressure. But at the same time, I also think that we shouldn't judge his presidency on the first 8 months. I'm more than willing to say, you know, where will he be at the midterm of his first term, and, you know, what has he done to move forward. I always do get reminded by friends of mine that, you know, Reagan was incredibly unpopular at the start of his presidency. So the real thing right now is, can he deliver health care? Because, of course, that also does affect people in the gay community, certainly especially around issues of HIV and AIDS. So I believe that I'm willing, you know, it's like cautiously optimistic, trust but verify, and keep the pressure on. I think that, you know, what I don't want to hear anymore is make us do it. You know, I put you in office. It was our hard work that got you elected. I don't want to hear about how I have to make you do something. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, I don't think I'm ready to write the closing chapter on the Barack Obama presidency yet.
Well,
I'm not there yet.
You know,
but
I'm not either. But I think we do have to make
him. I'm upset about some things.
Yeah. I think we do have to make him do the right thing. I'm sorry. We got about 15 seconds, Mike.
You got it. Let's keep pressuring on all of them and fighting on.
Yeah. Don't throw anybody over at this point, but I think the pressure needs to come on, and I think the headline over on page 1Q today was, sorry, gays, we're too busy for you.
Right. And that was Durbin. Dick Durbin was like, you know, there's no time to get any of this through. And I don't think anybody's asking for everything tonight, this week, even this month, but people do want to see some momentum. And just appointing gay people and announcing it all the time isn't going to cut it, as if that's a special thing. Woohoo, we hired a gay person.
Mike Rogers from page 1Q of blogactive.com. Thank you, my friend. Really appreciate it. Good talking to you. And we'll be back tomorrow night with our healthcare special following the president's joint speech to Congress. Brad, in for Malloy. See you tomorrow.